श्रीमती भक्ति विनोद स्वामी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी चरण सुंदर ओम गिरिजमनंद जनजन सुलकय Today, Balaram will go to Vrindavan. Because Krishna leaves Vrindavan in the 39th chapter of the 10th canto. And then in the 40th chapter, Akura offers him prayers just on the border between Vrindavan and Mathura and Akura Ghat. And then Krishna enters Mathura. And from 42 to 44, the pastimes are described up till the point of the killing of Kamsa. And then there are more pastimes in Mathura, and Uddhava goes to Vrindavan, delivers Krishna's messages to Nanda Maharaj and all the gopis, Yashodamayi. And then and Krishna goes to Gurukula, and there's so many fights that go on between Jarasandha and Kalyavana, and Krishna marries first Rukmini, kidnapping her, and then so a lot is going on, and then the pastime of the Shamataka duel, and then five queens are married, more queens are married by Krishna, so that's eight, and then 1,100 in the story of Bomasura, and then Pradyumna of Krishna teases Rukmini, and then the pastimes that we started reading just recently start taking place. So much has gone on. Krishna has Rukmini is killed, then Usha and Aniruddha, those pastimes. And the one we just heard about King Riga. And then, so all this time has gone on, and so many asuric personages have been killed, so many demonic persons who have been killed, because that is why Krishna had, on one level, that is why he had invented himself. To destroy the demonic elements, because in the very, very first chapter of the 10th canto, Bhumi Devi begs Lord Brahma to ask Krishna to come to remove the burden of the earth. So much of this is going on, and Krishna is doing his so-called seemingly prescribed duties of performing his pastimes. But the residents of Vrindavan are feeling the most incredible pain of separation from Krishna and Balaram, but of course especially from Krishna. When Krishna leaves Vrindavan, from that point on, no one in Braja eats. None of them sleep. They're all... It actually, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes that actually Mother Yasoda, Nanda Maharaj, and the gopis, on one level, they were the only ones who perceived that Krishna wasn't there. They were drowning in an ocean of separation from Krishna. And even the cowherd boys and all the other residents of Vrindavan, they were allowed by Krishna to see his unmanifest Apakat Lila, and they were always with Krishna. But Nanda Maharaj, Yasoda Mayi, and the Braja Gopis, they were immersed in an ocean of separation. It is very difficult, not difficult, it is impossible for us to understand what is actually separation from Krishna. because to understand what separation is, you obviously have to understand what love for Krishna is. And for a conditioned soul, a soul within the realm of the three modes of material nature, I cannot understand what love for Krishna is. And Mahaprabhu, someone said to Mahaprabhu, "Oh, you have so much love for Krishna." He said, "No, I have not even a drop of love for Krishna. But you're always crying. Your heart is breaking in separation from Krishna." And his response, as described in Caitanya Charitamrita, said, "That is just an imitation. I'm just showing off my good fortune. If I had love for Krishna, how could I remain alive and not be in his association?" So Caitanya Mahaprabhu was taking on the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, specifically Srimati Radharani. How could I remain alive without the presence of Krishna, being in Krishna's association? So we can just vaguely from a great distance imagine how deep love must be for there to be, for to be the absence of one's beloved. The heart would break so much that one can't even stay alive. We can just get perhaps some slight idea of what love for Krishna is in that way. So during that time, these years, when Krishna was out of Vrindavan, actually all the residents of Vrindavan were associating with Krishna on the uppercut level, and the entrance qualification to this uppercut or unmanifested level is separation. It is the channel way that one can associate with Krishna is by feeling separation from him. And in this world, this is a world of so much pain, of course, and ultimately there's so much difficulty in this world. Dukkhalayam, Ashashvatam, Anityam, Asukam, Lokam. Krishna himself certifies the nature of this world. It's a very miserable place. We have so many dreams of future happiness, but we end up with nothing in the hand of happiness. We have dreams, we have plans, and we take and do things to bring us happiness on the material level, and they end up all, rather than tasting sweet, they taste like ashes. Has anyone ever eaten a mouthful of ashes? Do we have any ashes inside?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, would anyone like, are they hot or cold at this point?
Warm.
Oh. And, well, you can state your preference. Would you like hot ashes or cold ashes or warm ashes? But in any case, and actually, ashes are quite good for brushing your teeth, by the way, in case you ever run out of Colgate toothpaste. You don't even need a toothbrush. It's mildly abrasive. But don't quote me on that. But the taste of ashes is not satisfying at all. Not satisfying in the slightest. And that is our attempt for happiness in this world. When we're young, we dream, "Oh, my life is going to be like this, and I'm going to do this and that." But and then things don't work out. Of course, they can't work out the way we plan in our dreams. And then we think, "Oh, that's because I haven't had the right arrangements yet, so I try something else and try something else." But the end is always the same. It's ashes. Ultimately, it's even if it's the death of our beloved or our own death or whatever. So, in this world, if we can just simply understand the nature of this world, and turn our consciousness from Krishna to Krishna, and just accept that we have, what the lack that we actually have is the lack of relationship with Him. And then we can desire somehow to close the gap, the great distance between us and Krishna, by the kindness of the holy names, and by the kindness of His mercy, and the kindness of hearing about Krishna, hearing Krishna Katha, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and serving Krishna, and at the same time doing something, service in such a way that Krishna will be pleased. Then, if Krishna likes, by His mercy, then He will gradually reveal Himself to us. And that revelation, reveal, and the word revelation, they are the same. Krishna reveals Himself to us according to our desire and but ultimately according to His desire, His free will. So, on this other level, here we don't feel separation. We just feel the dull aching of the misery of material existence, and we feel the taste of ashes. But we don't feel separation from Krishna. But in Vrindavan, all the residents of Vrindavan feel separation from Krishna, because their love is nitya siddha Krishna premi sadhya kavanoi. Their love for Krishna is eternally established in their consciousness. There is nothing other than love for Krishna. The Son of Krishna has arisen in their heart fully, and they're always with Krishna in that way. So their missing Krishna causes Krishna, as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, someplace he explains that he's always there, and certainly in his uppercut lila, because they're always missing Krishna. We are satisfied with so many other things in this world. Well, like babies. A baby wants his mother, and what do you do when the baby wants the mother and the mother is busy? You take some little toy, a rattle, and you shake it in front of the baby, and some bells, or you give the baby a... In the United States, they call it a pacifier. And in Australia, they have a better name for it. It's a dummy, because the baby takes it. What a dummy! Instead of getting what he really wants. If it's a fake, it's not the real thing, and it pacifies. To pacify means to make peaceful. But it's not going to make the baby peaceful, really, because the baby wants the mother. But we take so many rattles. Krishna will give us whatever little trinkets and toys and candies we want, until we are very serious, fully serious about Him, and only then He will give Himself to us, because by when Krishna gives Himself, He's purchased by that. He's purchased by that, because love for Krishna attracts Krishna, Krishna Karshini. So the residents of Vrindavan had such deep love for Krishna, they attracted Krishna. But yet Krishna didn't come. But at some point, after all this time, Balaram decided that he would come. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, we'll read this first verse here. Balabhadra Kuru Shrestha. What does Kuru Shrestha mean?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Bhagavan Ritam Astitaha. He mounted Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord Balaram. He mounted his rata, his chariot. Surid the Drikshur Utkanta. What does Utkanta mean?
Strong desire.
Yeah, eagerness, like that. And utkanta means up. Kanta means neck. So when someone is like this, looking for something somewhere. So Balaram surit didriksha, he wanted to see his surit. Surit means friends that are so close to the heart. Prayayo Nandagokulam. So he traveled to Nandagokulam, the cowherd village of Nandamaraj, on his ratam. Here's the purport here. As Srila Jiva Goswami points out, Lord Balaram's journey to Sri Vrindavan is also described in the Harivamsa. Remembering the deep friendship he once enjoyed with the cowherd folk, Lord Ram went alone to Braja, having taken Lord Krishna's permission. The residents of Vrindavan were aggrieved. What does aggrieved mean?
Unhappy.
Yeah. Yes, a little more than unhappy. Because grief is the root of aggrieved, and grief is more than unhappy. Because, you know, if when Australia lose in the cricket, in the soccer match, so many people are unhappy. But very few people are grieved. They forget about it quickly.
Well, if the referee cheated, then they become aggrieved.
Huh?
If the referee cheated, then they become
aggrieved. Is that what happened? Wow.
A grievance.
But the kind of grief that the residents of Vrindavan were experiencing, just imagine the depth of their grief, that no eating, no sleeping, no taking care of the bodily needs, just stunned in separation from Krishna. So Balaram, they were grieved that Lord Krishna had gone to live elsewhere. So Lord Balaram went there to console them. What does console them mean? To pacify them, to make their hearts more peaceful. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur addresses the question of why Lord Krishna, who is a great ocean of pure love, did not also go to Braja. This is, of course, a very heavy and deep question. Why did Krishna leave them? He loves his devotees so much. He's an ocean of love, an ocean of pure love. Why didn't he go to Vrindavan? So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur quotes two verses. Of course, this is a very deep question, but there are two verses that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur quotes. The Yadus thought, the Lord's beloved girlfriends are famous for their pure ecstatic love. So this is why Krishna didn't go. And who was thinking like this? Yadus. Yadus Shrestha, Kuru Shrestha. So they were thinking, the Lord's beloved girlfriend, the Braja Gopikas, are famous for their pure ecstatic love. They have such depth of love for Krishna. And his parents, who were his parents? They're extremely affectionate towards him. And we already know that Krishna is controlled by pure love. So if he goes to see them, how will he be able to leave them and come back to us? He's controlled by the love of his devotees. How will he ever return to us? And this thought was intolerable for the Yadus. And with this in mind, the Yadus prevented Lord Hari from going, knowing that he becomes subservient to the pastimes in which he reciprocates the ever-increasing love of the inhabitants of Braja. So then, how could Balaram? Balaram was in a very awkward position, because Uddhava had told, when he went, as described in the 46th and 47th verse, chapter. He told them, I'll bring Krishna. Now Krishna will come. And then Krishna didn't come. And Balaram's going to go. And first of all, the question is raised, how did he leave Krishna to go? Because for Balaram, Krishna was his very life. Krishna, and Balaram were inseparable in Braja. And they were always together in Vrindavan. And then even when they came to Mathura, they came together, sitting on the same chariot. And even when they went to the ashram of Sandipani Muni, they went together. And then they returned together. And they performed their pastimes always together. So how did Balaram leave Krishna? So he was so moved by his own separation. This is the explanation of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. He was so touched and moved, overwhelmed by his own separation from the residence of Vrindavan, that in madness he just left. So it is so amazing and beyond the capacity for the material, finite mind to comprehend that God, the Parameshwara, the Param Satyam, the Absolute Truth, has these types of emotions even, or experiences, that he's a person. He's a person, but yet he's not a limited person. He's an unlimited person. So that means he also has unlimited love. He's an ocean of love. But he's 100 oceans of love. But yet he did not go. But yet he did go at the same time. This is actually described in many places. Especially by Śrīla Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura. He goes back to Vrindavan in his uppercut or unmanifest way, pastimes, and everyone associates with him in that way. So, the next verse. So, Balaram arrives in Vrindavan. How did he go?
On his
chariot. Having long suffered the anxiety of separation, the coward men and their wives, when they saw Lord Balaram, we can't estimate how they felt, but when they thought of Balaram, they always thought of Krishna, because they were always together, and they were both of them were unlimitedly beautiful, unlimitedly powerful. And so when they saw Balaram, how did they feel? On one hand, they were so relieved to see Balaram. But on the other hand, they could not see Krishna with Balaram. So their separation would only increase. The Lord, Balaram, offered respects to his parents, and then they joyfully greeted him with prayers. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, in the purport it describes, a verse that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has written to describe the situation. Nityananda Sarupopi Prema Tapto Vajokasham Yayo Krishnam api tyaktva yastam ramam muhu stumaha. Let us repeatedly glorify Lord Balaram. Although he is the original personality of eternal bliss, Nityananda, he felt pained by his love for the residents of Braja, and thus he went to see them, even at the cost of leaving Krishna. So when Nanda and Yasoda saw Balaram, they prayed, O descendant of Darsa, O Lord of the universe, may you and your younger brother Krishna ever protect us. This is Nanda Yashoda speaking. Saying this, they raised Sri Balaram onto their laps, embraced him, and moistened him with tears from their eyes. So what? Who would like to say something about that? What is amazing about that?
The lamb's fully grown and sitting on the head.
Yes, that is quite amazing, isn't it?
What else?
It's amazing. I'll read the verse again. Nandini Yasoda prayed, O descendant of Darsaha, O Lord of the universe, may you and your younger brother Krishna ever protect us. Saying this, they raised Sri Balaram onto their laps, embraced him, and moistened him with the tears from their eyes. What's amazing about that? Yeah, and they're asking him, please protect us. Of course, they're asking him ultimately to protect us from dying, from separation from Krishna. You're the Lord of the universe. You protect everyone in the universe. Now, but please protect us. When Uddhava came, he saw that when he came to Vrindavan, and this was long before, he saw the love of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, and he thought that that they're not going to live more than one or two or four or five days. So let me lessen their love. So he began to preach to them how this boy of yours, Krishna, you should understand, he's not just your son. He's actually the super soul. The super soul within everyone's heart. He was trying to inject within their consciousness this Aishwarya Gyan, this knowledge of Krishna's unlimited power. And Nanda Maharaj, of course it wasn't. It didn't do anything. And that's what's going on in this verse. They're speaking to Balaram, acknowledging that you are unlimitedly powerful, and basically that Krishna's unlimitedly powerful, but knowing that he's unlimitedly powerful doesn't lessen their love for him. And this is the special characteristic of the residents of Vrindavan. It's not that they're always aware that Krishna's unlimitedly powerful. They forget it in the midst of the power of their love for him. But sometimes when they become aware of Krishna's, Balaram's power, their love for him doesn't get any less at all. So that type of a love is the special characteristic of the residents of Vrindavan. And on the other hand, the comparison is made when Vasudeva and Devaki, when they become aware after Kamsa is killed, they become aware of that Krishna is the Supreme Lord again, and he's come back. They become aware of that, and they don't know what to do. They want to bow down to him, but they can't bow down because he's their son, and they want to embrace him, and they can't embrace him because he's the unlimited Supreme Lord. So they just remain stunned, not knowing whether to bow down or what to do. But Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda, they don't become stunned when they become aware of Krishna's opulence at all. They just take him on his lap, even though he's big. He's an adult practically, actually. They just take him on his lap anyway, and they bathe him, moisten him with tears from their eyes. They raise Sri Balaram on their laps, embrace him, and moisten him with the tears from their eyes. So this is the special quality of the love of the residents of Vrindavan. It is so powerful. I always come back to the same example. If the wealthiest person in the world walked in here right now, and I usually ask, okay, who's the wealthiest person in the world? And usually, I don't know if Bill Gates still is. There's Warren Buffett, maybe. Yeah.
No, it's a Mexican guy.
Mexican guy.
You say he's passed over them.
Yeah. What? How about the fellow in Perth who owns all the ammonia in the world?
Pankaj Oswald.
Huh?
Pankaj Oswald.
Is that his name? Pankaj?
was all the Indian guy.
Yeah.
Pankaj Joshua.
Pankaj?
He doesn't compare with Gates and Buffett.
Ah, but he's not poor either.
No, he's quite well off.
He doesn't get concession rate on the trains. No. Pankaj Oswald? Oswald.
Not with a D, but just Oswal.
Where's he from? I mean, Perth, obviously, but what part of India is he from?
He's Gujarati.
Okay, if Pankaj Oswald walked in right here, we would all smile, we'd be so polite to him, and we'd be so nice and everything. Please sit down.
I don't know what he looks like, so I might not be.
Yeah, but yeah, someone would say, that's
Pankaj Oswald. Like who?
His wife's friend's right.
See, we all know about him already. He's just an ammonia merchant, right? One time Prabhupada was... I think in 1976 they were showing him the Rath Yatra site, and they drove him where the Rath Yatra was going to go down Fifth Avenue in Manhattan in New York. And Fifth Avenue in Manhattan in New York is a very, very up-end, exclusive place. So Prabhupada, so the devotees were saying, oh, Prabhupada, here's where the real wealthy people have their offices. And Prabhupada said, oh, this is where the big merchants have their shops. Something like that. You just put it in a perspective. Because that's all it is, the merchants. But in any case, going back to the point, if someone very, very wealthy walks in, we'd be so nice to them. But what would always be in our mind? You know, only if he could help. We all have a list of projects, our own personal projects that we would like him to help with. Yes, we might ask him if he would help with the temple a little bit, or something. That's we might. Whatever we're saying, and whatever is going on with our faces inside in our minds, this is what everyone is thinking. Everyone has their personal projects, and of course, they on their side are well aware of this. So. Very, very difficult and lonely to be a very wealthy person, because everyone smiles at you, everyone's very nice to you, and everyone wants something from you. You know, no one really has affection for you. They all want something from you. So that's Krishna knows these things very well, of course, being in everyone's heart. So if Mr. Pankaj Oswal knows that this is how people are treating him. And there's also another very peculiar thing about wealthy people. Wherever they go somewhere, everyone pays for everything for them. It's most peculiar.
They want people to pay. They expect people to pay.
So So that's what it's like when people, you know, people go to God. They go to the temple or the church or the this or that. And usually it's just like that. They smile, they bring some fruit, some milk or something, or whatever they give, or some donation. But they want something. And Krishna knows that, and he's so kind that he gives them what they want, but he doesn't give himself. And who does he give himself for? Just imagine the kind of person who loves him so much, but they don't care that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he's unlimitedly powerful. Not only is he unlimitedly powerful, he's unlimitedly beautiful. And not only is he unlimitedly powerful and beautiful and knowledgeable and strong and renowned, he's also unlimitedly wealthy, and they don't care. They just love him. So that's the mood of the resident, part of the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, of the Vrajavasis. They may know that he's the Supreme Lord, that he's unlimitedly powerful and unlimitedly wealthy. They may not know different times, there are different things, but nothing lessens their love for him. Nothing. So the two appear to be contradictory. O descendant of Dasaha, O Lord of the universe, may you and your younger brother Krishna ever protect us. As they were saying it, they raised Balaram onto their laps and embraced him. You don't do that with the all-powerful Supreme Personality, the Lord of the universe. You don't put him on your lap and give him a big hug. Huh?
And cry all over him.
Yeah. But with so, this is the uniqueness of the resonance of Vrindavan there. The sweetness of their love, the greatness of their love, overpowers everything. Srila Jiva Goswami comments on this verse as follows. Nanda and Yashoda prayed to Sri Balaram, may you along with your younger brother protect us. Thus they expressed their respect for the fact that he is the elder brother, and they also showed him how much they considered him their own son. Then Lord Balaram paid proper respects to the elder cowherd men and the younger ones, and the younger ones greeted him all respectfully. So the older ones he was respectful to, and the younger ones were respectful to him. He met them all with smiles, handshakes, and so on, dealing personally with each one according to age, degree of friendship, and family relationship. Then, after resting, the Lord accepted a comfortable seat, and they all gathered around him. With voices faltering out of love for him, those cowherds who had dedicated everything to lotus-eyed Krishna asked about the health of their dear ones in Dwarka, and Balaram in turn asked about the cowherd's welfare. So everyone just gathered around. They dropped what they were doing and they gathered around, and they they embraced, they shook hands, they spoke, they smiled, and they asked about Krishna. And then, as Vishwanath explains, the younger cowherd said, O Rama, or the older ones said, are all our relatives doing well? That's what the Yadavas, because they're connected. And Rama, the younger ones, asked, do all of you with your wives and children still remember us? Actually, that's a very heart-rendering question. Do you still remember us? And especially, I think, let me just read a little more. It is our great fortune that sinful Kamsa has been killed and our dear relatives freed. And it is also our good fortune that our relatives have killed and defeated their enemies and found complete security in a great fortress. So what is that great fortress? So and then Sukadev Goswami continued. Honored to have the personal audience of Lord Balaram, the young gopis smiled and asked him, is Krishna the darling of the city women living happily? Purport. According to the Acharyas, Lord Krishna's beloved girlfriends were smiling with divine madness since they were feeling extreme unhappiness and separation from their beloved Krishna. Lord, this is actually the comment of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and probably others, Sri Daswami as well, because Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur often follows, bases what he says on Sri Daswami. Lord Rama deeply respected their great love for Sri Krishna. And thus the term Rama, Sandarshanandritaha carries the meaning that Balaram honored the gopis, as well as the given meaning that they honored him. So the point here, there's several points. One is that it's hard for us, for those of us who grew up in the West, to understand that this is peculiar behavior, because Balaram is like the older brother of Krishna. So the gopis, in front of Balaram, they wouldn't smile. They always would keep away from Balaram. And when Krishna would exchange glances with the gopis, Balaram would have to be far away, because the older brother has two different relationships with the younger brother. One is friendship, and the other is vatsalya bhav, just treating him like the parent, protective and parenting. So therefore, because the relationship of parent to child doesn't really mix with the relationship of boyfriend and girlfriend. So Balaram can't be present, just like Mother Yasoda. Of course, at Kali Yuga, everything happens, everything happens, and sometimes in Kali Yuga, the girlfriend brings her boyfriend home, and the mother steals the girlfriend, the boyfriend, and all kinds of things happen. This is Kali Yuga, but this wasn't Kali. This isn't Kali Yuga. This is the spiritual world, and there's everything is very discreet. So, for the gopis, when they saw Balaram, to smile was extraordinary in front of Balaram. And also that's another thing that I remember that. There was this one, actually a Punjabi girl, and her sister got married, and she looked at the wedding pictures at her younger sister getting married, and she saw that she was smiling in the wedding pictures like this, and showing her teeth like that, and she said, "Oh, this is disgraceful." These kind of things are not from a different. You're not supposed to do that. So that kind of happiness, like that, it's considered inappropriate. So the gopis were smiling in the midst of feeling the deepest unhappiness, because they were seeing Balaram, but Krishna wasn't there. So what was the cause of their smiling? Because ordinarily they wouldn't be smiling in front of Balaram. And even in Vrindavan, in the old-fashioned Vrindavan homes, when the wife of a younger brother is in front of the older brother, she will completely cover her face, even, but out of shyness, or to speak of. In front of, yes? Remember that? They'll completely keep themselves covered out of shyness. So shyness is completely different from what the gopis are acting here. So what is the cause of their smiling on two points? One is that they're feeling complete separation from Krishna, and they're feeling completely unhappy, and they're smiling. And that smiling is overruling their natural shyness, because the smiling is in front of Balaram. So this Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, by looking at this scene as Sukadeva Goswami is describing it, he's understanding that the gopis, in the depth of their feeling separation from Krishna, are feeling ecstasy. Because separation means that the heart is throbbing in relationship with the beloved, with Krishna. So they're actually associating with Krishna and in ecstasy, feeling separation, transcendental unhappiness, and they're feeling in that they're acting in a mad way, and that madness is taking the form of smiling, overcoming their natural shyness in their ecstasy. So that was the analysis of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. And he proves that by showing that they were in ecstasy by saying that Balaram honored them. He honored the gopis, as well as the given meaning that they honored him. So both were going on. The gopis honored him, but him seeing the ecstasy of their love for Krishna didn't at all become offended by their lack of etiquette, but rather he honored them because he was honoring their love for Krishna. And listen to what they said. This is that when they were alone with Balaram, and the young gopis smiled and asked, "Is Krishna the darling of the city women living happily?" So there's what's that emotion? What would you say? How would you describe what they were their expression?
Envy.
Huh?
Envy.
Is envy or
cynicism, almost.
Or deep sarcasm, or something. Yeah, some kind of a sarcastic. As if they were smiling. Oh, we hope Krishna is so happy in the association of it. Well, their hearts are breaking. Their hearts are breaking. And they say next. And Balaram's answer is, "Of course, how could he forget you? Of course he's not happy because he's thinking about you all the time." And the gopis, their response is, "We don't believe that at all. Because Krishna is very, very tricky. And he doesn't even remember us." This is the moods that they're feeling. These different moods are causing different waves in the oceans of their transcendental ecstasy. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the ocean of their nectarian ocean of their love, in their prema nidhi, there's different kinds of waves that are arising in that, different types of emotions, because it's all personal. It's not just there's one. Because when we think of our relationship with Krishna, or you think of advanced spiritual life, we also tend to think it's basically liberation from all the miseries. But this is something completely different. Actual love for Krishna or rasa is a different combination of different emotions, including fear for Krishna. Where I can't remember exactly where I just read this. Did we speak about that? That fear is, that when there is prema, there is fear for the beloved.
You mentioned it.
Yeah, I can't remember where it comes from. But while there is love, just part of love is fearing for the welfare of the beloved. So how does that fit in to your beloved, your love, being the Supreme Person, unlimitedly powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead? It doesn't logically fit in at all. And how does it fit in to the concept of why we tend to want to make spiritual advancement so we can remove all the anxiety that we're feeling continuously in material existence, which is basically the desire for liberation? But love is jnana kama anavrita. Pure bhakti is quite beyond all this. Jnana kama anavrita anakulena krishna anashilam bhakti uttama. So this is something, this is we're getting a glimpse of the highest levels of Krishna consciousness. And it will naturally be hard for me, who's on not even on the lowest level, aspiring to be on the lowest level of Krishna consciousness, to understand or relate to or even to aspire for. But this is all on the platform of the highest of ecstasies. This is Krishna's internal energies all working, all working. So them, first as they say sarcastically, is Krishna, they're calling him Pura Stri Jana Balava. Pura means the city, Stri, the Jana, the Balava, the beloved, the darling or the beloved of the city women. That's what Kaschit Aste Sukam Krishna is. Krishna feeling happiness. Krishna, who is the darling or the beloved of the women of Mathura, he's left us. Does he even remember us? He left us so abruptly, practically he didn't even say anything, and then through a messenger, iti dotikai, through a messenger, he sent a message saying, I'm coming back. And that was keeping them alive. But this has been so long already. So when and he hasn't come back, and Balaram saying, of course he remembers you. And the Braja Gopikas, in the madness of, or the ecstasy of their madness, they reply in the next verse, verse 10, okay, so he doesn't remember us and he hasn't come back. He doesn't care for us because he's satisfied with the, in the city, with the sophisticated girls, and we're just village girls. But at least, does he remember his family members? His father and mother? Just see their condition. And then they say, do you think he will ever come back even once to see his mother? This is very... And does mighty Om Krishna remember the service we always did for him? Krishna Chakravarti Thakur, in the purport says, he comments that the gopis would render service to Krishna by stringing flower garlands, skillfully using perfumes, and constructing fans, beds, canopies out of flower petals. By these simple acts of love, the gopis rendered the greatest service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For Krishna's sake, O descendant of Darsaha. Anyway, we'll stop here. Thank you. Any questions or comments? This is... There's something else than the material world. Any questions or comments? So their separation from Krishna when they see Balaram is boiling.
This struck me as quite amazing when we were hearing that the Yadus thinking that dear most to our Krishna is simple cowherd feels.
Yeah.
It must be so sort of confusing, not confusing, but it must be bewildering to them, considering that they live in opulence.
But they, it was clear that they may have been bewildered, but not enough to let Krishna go.
Yeah.
They were clear thinking from their point of view to keep him. And Krishna, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, quite so.
From their side, I think we have so much to offer him here. I'm just captivated by this village girls of Vrindavan.
But it's because they know how much the gopis love. It's something very special. So one could ask, how do they know? Because Uddhava found out.
I mean, Kura knew, even before he went there, he mentioned it.
Because everyone, it's a village, everyone knows everything. But what everyone's doing and who's doing what. Yeah.
This whole thing is on a different plane. But beyond our sort of reach of our consciousness.
Yes, exactly. But yet, if somehow or another we can get from a very far, far, far distance some little glimpse that this is something wonderful.
Like they also only know Krishna as their life and soul. Yes. And yet, they're saying that he's sold out to.
Yeah.
But they have so many family members. I think the way Vishnu and Chakravarti Thakur was saying that their life is complicated.
Yeah.
There's so many sons and so many daughters.
Yeah.
And so they have affection for them also.
But also, we were speaking about how when they become aware of Krishna's opulence, that shrinks the intimacy of their love. But with the resonance of Vrindavan, it's like a tidal wave. Nothing minimizes it. Nothing can minimize it. They may know, sometimes they know, sometimes they don't know. That was a moment. So interesting, that little moment. It's contradictory. It's completely contradictory. How could they, on one hand, they're calling him the Lord of the Universe, please, and they're taking him on their lap and hugging him and bathing him with the tears coming from their eyes.
The interesting thing is that they're asking for protection, yet they're giving a protective mood to Bara, nursing him.
It doesn't work from the logical point of view. The gopis, where they're smiling, it doesn't work, actually. It's both these emotions are products, incongruous, but they're products of their ecstasies, which is on a different level and unglimpsable. They know nothing but Krishna.
How do we understand that Nandan sort of slipped into that acknowledgement of Brahman as a supreme lord?
It's not slipping into it in the sense that slipping means a lessening of anything. There's nothing lessened at all.
Yeah.
This also happens when Uddhava delivers the message of Krishna to the. From Krishna, one of the messages, or some messages to the gopis, and they say in his previous, we don't want to hear anything from him in his previous life, as Rama he did this,
yeah.
And as Vamandev he did this. So it's right on the surface again, but
yeah.
It doesn't make any difference. It's completely contradictory.
That's right.
Because it's just glorifying the nature of their love that it can easily hold the tension of the contradiction.
That's right. Their mood relationship can hold anything and everything else.
Yeah, and you can, and the example, if you take that example of Mr. Pankaj Aswal, when his mother sees him, she knows of his wealth, but generally we would say that, but her motherly love for him is so great that she doesn't care about it. She's more concerned, are you eating enough? Are you working too hard? Why don't you just come and sit for a while? And and she's not thinking of him as such a wealthy person. She's just thinking of him as her baby. And because the nature of a mother is, when she sees a child, even if he might be 40, 50, 60 years old, they're still worrying about about him and like that. Is your mother like that?
or like she, the mother could accompany him to a formal function where he's been. The example.
Well, then, yeah, then she doesn't let her mood come out.
But it doesn't have any bearing.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, it does, externally doing one thing, but internally, you know, it doesn't change. It's just it's the nature of true love. It doesn't make sense. It's love. Mm-hmm. Sense means going through the intelligence, yeah. But it doesn't have nothing to do with that. It's something. Mm-hmm. It's attachment. So this path is ultimately the path of attachment. Means to develop attraction for Krishna, and the main methodology of that is the hearing and chanting.
Yeah.
Also, when Krishna left the gopis and they were meeting in the night, and their songs that they sing. They say, you know, you're the indwelling super soul,
yeah.
And everyone. They acknowledge his position, but yeah, it doesn't change their.
And they're only concerned about him ultimately, even in the midst of that. So they have. Even in the midst of him, thinking of him as the super soul and him leaving them. But then they're just worried that he's going to hurt his lotus feet, his soft, tender lotus feet.
And he'll miss them.
Huh?
He'll suffer because he'll miss them. He'll come, he called them, and then he'll suffer because he's not going to enjoy them.
So the center is him. So this is that's why Narottama Das Thakur says that this prema, if it's like taking gold and you melt it and take off when you melt gold, there's impurities and there's different carats of gold, which means the different amount of additions that are put in there. So pure gold, what do they call it? 24 carat gold or something like that. So they never say it's 100% pure, they say 99.9999, because to make, you can't make it 100%, there's nothing 100% pure in this world.
Mm-hmm.
But Narottama Das Thakur compares gold to prema, to gold melted in 100 times. You melt it and remove the impurities, and then it solidifies, and then you melt it again and you remove the impurities, less impurities the second time, and then you melt it again and there's just a little bit more impurities, and then again and again and again and again and again. So it's all about the beloved. It's all about Krishna. The whole life, all the existence of the residents of Vrindavan, it's all about Krishna. And it's said about Mother Yasoda, for example, that she's willing to die 1,000 times to save Krishna the inconvenience of some perspiration forming upon his forehead. It's all about Krishna. And this is the hard, the impossible thing for the conditioned soul to be attracted to, that it's not all about me, you know. I take the Krishna consciousness and it's all about me. But that's not what Krishna consciousness is. And that won't be the cause of ecstasy. Of course, it's purification that comes. But it's all about Krishna and what is pleasing to Krishna. And it's ready to do anything to please Krishna. That's what love, that's the kind of love that captures the heart of Krishna and attracts him. And it's completely natural. And that's what everyone in this world is sort of looking for. Someone who just loves them. Whatever they are, they just love me. That's what everyone is looking for. But we want to be the center of that love. And that's what false ego causes us to do, to try to make ourselves the center of love. And therefore we feel lonely because no one wants to make us the center of love. But rather what we're being asked to do in spiritual life is to make Krishna the center of love. Is to make Krishna the center of love. And the frustrations that one feels in this world, they're fuel that should be seen as fuel to in the fire of the desire to make Krishna the center of love, of our life, of our existence, up to the point of to serve these most exalted personalities who have given everything to Krishna for thousands of lives, if they're let's itam satam brahmasukana bhutya sakyam vicharupita punja punja. But of course, and then in the eighth chapter of the tenth canto, the question is asked, what did Mother Yasoda do? What did she have to go through to gain this kind of love for Krishna? And the answer given was nothing. This is Nitya Siddha. But what we have to go through is the process of sadhana bhakti. And then gradually, or quickly, or whatever, we want to come to the point that we're more attracted to Krishna's pleasure than to our own pleasure. That whatever it takes to please Krishna is my greatest fortune and happiness to be able to make that offering. So therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays that the miseries that I experience in my devotional service bring me the greatest happiness. That there's troubles, but to know that these troubles are part of my offering, they're not troubles anymore. It's like it's just part of the offering. So that type of consciousness is very, very wonderful. And it's the beginning of the consciousness that purchases Krishna. So we're looking at the Brijbasis, and their love is the pinnacle, the topmost point of this. So for us, as Bhante said, we can't glimpse it because it appears to be of this world, but it's on a completely different level, so it's easy to mistake it to be of this world. But it's something completely different. It is gold purified in 100 flames, 1,000 flames. Okay, we better stop. It's already too late. Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Balaram ki jai, Sri all the Brijbasis ki jai, Sri Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Gaur Nitya Bhaktivinoda ki jai.